Live from CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. You can add another feather in the cap for the Sacramento community. The Sacramento Observer is the nation's best Black newspaper. Not only that, the paper also racked up more than a dozen of other awards at the National Newspaper Publishers Association a few weeks ago. The Best Black Newspaper Award is actually not the Observer's first. In fact, the paper has now won that award for the seventh time in its 60-year history. The Observer was founded in Sacramento back in 1962 by local businessman and real estate broker William Hanford Lee. After his passing in 2019, his son, Larry Lee, took over the Sac Observer and continues to run it today. Larry joins us now with what makes a paper so special. Larry, welcome back to Insight.
Thank you for having me, Vic.
Nice to see you, especially under the circumstances. So we're going to get to these big accomplishments in just a moment, but let's just start with the Sacramento Observer itself. It has such a rich history in our community that really begins with your family. You grew up with really understanding the power of local journalism. Why did your father start the Observer?
Oh, I think, and I don't want to forget the other two gentlemen, Gino Gladden and John Cole, who were right alongside of him, as well as the families, the wives that were there as well, too, that helped start the paper. It was really out of a need for, the community, the African-American community having a voice. You're talking about 1962. The African-American experience was not necessarily documented anywhere else. And, you know, you're in the midst of, civil rights, period. And so there was a publication that preceded the Observer called the Sacramento Outlook. It was more of a religious publication, wasn't printed with the frequency of a regular newspaper. And so these three decided to start it. The responsibility of it fell quickly to my family as Gino Gladden passed away pretty early and John Cole was kind of like a serial businessman. And so he would have, lots of different business ideas and ventures. So my dad took to it pretty quickly in November of 62 after they started. And really within 10 years, he had really catapulted the Observer into, the upper echelon of the Black press, which historically has, quite an amazing legacy. It's the nation's first Black business and has been responsible for countless achievements and changes for the African-American community across the country. And he just dove right into that legacy and that history and never really looked back.
Was entering journalism, running the Sac Observer as you do now, was that knee-jerk for you? Is that something you always wanted to do?
You know, the funny thing, I will say this much, is I am a very appreciative of, I'm the youngest of three boys. Was born in 1973, which was actually the first year that The Observer ever was named the nation's best Black newspaper. I teasingly told my dad it wasn't until I was born that The Observer really started to do to start winning great awards. But, I think the thing that I would say that my parents gave me, pretty young, is it gave me purpose. So I was very aware of what the Observer was doing for the African-American community on a week-in, week-out basis of through the print product of the newspaper. I was fortunate enough to have gone to San Jose State during the midst of the Silicon Valley growth and everything there. And so I was paying attention very early, 18, 19 years old, of what does media look like? What is a local community newspaper? How does it survive? How does it grow? What are some of the things that we can do with technology to kind of bolster our audience and reach them where they are? And so so that purpose that they gave me, and I say they gave me purpose because they literally asked me, do you want to have anything to do with the family business, when I was about 18 years old? I think they were in their own season trying to decide whether or not they were going to hold on to it or sell it or whatever they might do. And, so the knee-jerk reaction was me saying yes, not really knowing everything that I was getting myself into.
And then figuring it out.
And then figuring it out, absolutely. But I absolutely love the work that we do and I told someone the other day, I was born in the Black press and I will die in the Black press.
You know, given that the Observer has been around for over 60 years, I would imagine this paper has weathered, you know, quite a few storms to still be relevant and still be impactful today. How has the Observer grown and what challenges did it have to overcome?
Oh, gosh. You know, the first of all, the challenge of being a family business in and of itself is a challenge. The challenge of being, you know, an African-American Black-owned business is very challenging. And then you throw in there the news industry and the challenges that it has faced. So, you know, challenges come every day, it seems like. I think what, you know, I learned is that they are just challenges. And sometimes they're opportunities to kind of show what you can do. And I think that, you know, I personally have developed, I believe, a really strong tolerance for really difficult times and being able to kind of keep my eye very focused on what we're trying to do. I say often that God has given us vision and provision. He's given us, and I say us, I'm saying collectively me, but he's given us a direction of what we want to do to help serve this community. And really, that's really where it comes from, too, is knowing the conditions that African Americans are faced with each and every day, that gives us such great motivation to help serve that community in the best way possible. The gift that I've been given is the work of the Observer and the tools of how do we do that through journalism and community engagement and, you know, all the other different ways in which you amplify the challenges as well as the joys of our community, which there's so many things that often just get overlooked by mainstream press. And that's why we're here. And so, you know, we've had difficult financial times, staffing challenges. It's just all, you know, advertising challenges, the change of technology, all those things have hit us. But we just kind of put our head down and stay very focused and committed to what we're doing each and every day.
Yeah, and this year is a good year to kind of pat yourselves on the back because you just received the best Black newspaper in the nation. Tell us about this award since it's the seventh time the Observer has received it.
Sure. So NNPA, the National Newspaper Publishers Association, of which we're a member, is kind of what we would call the Black press of America. There's about 200 Black newspapers across the country. Some of them are in communities that are very underserved, rural communities and the like, but some of them are in major metropolitan, what we would call chocolate cities. You know, we have a story online right now about the blackest cities in the United States, and cities like Detroit and Baltimore, where there's 60-70% African American population. You know, so the NNPA really are Black Press Awards are kind of like our Pulitzers. It's where they judge all of our work over the last year or so. Now, the Observer honestly has not entered the competition. We have not entered the competition in 20 years. 2003 was the last time we entered. In the last 30 years, we've only entered twice.
Why?
In all honesty, I think a lot of it was so. There's a couple of things. One, if you in our business. It's kind of hard pulling all the entries together.
It is a lot of work.
When you're a weekly newspaper, you have to literally go through every publication, every story, and kind of look at it with a critical eye. And there's been times when we just didn't have the bandwidth to do it. It just didn't. We had, for the better part of the last 15 years, you know, we've been, you know, kind of a very small staff. And so, you know, the time and dedication on kind of pulling those together was time consuming. I will say, however, I was very motivated and have been very motivated the last couple of years because we have made some tremendous progress as an organization. And I really wanted to highlight the work that we've been doing. And so, you know, pulling the entries together was something that we were very focused on doing this year. We entered there's 23 total categories. We entered 18 of the categories. Of the 18, we were awarded in 14. And then unbeknownst to me, The publishers named me Publisher of the Year. And I was...
It just keeps getting better.
It was, and that comes about 30 days after we were acknowledged and recognized by the California Newspaper Publishers Association as the third best weekly in the state of California. And to us, that was very significant because there are communities in California, as you know, that, you know, have really struggled with news as news deserts. And so the weeklies tend to be, in some communities, the primary publication of that community. And for CNPA to recognize a niche publication like ours, where African Americans can get around their life without the Observer each and every day. But the fact that they recognize kind of our high impact journalism in particular that we've been doing over the last couple of years was, you know, confirmation about, you know, what we're doing as an organization.
Yeah. And it really takes a village to do the kind of work that The Observer is doing. We actually have, at Cap Radio, have a unique partnership with The Observer.
Yes.
We share a reporter, Srishti Prabha, who reports on Sacramento K-12 education. They do a great job. How did this partnership come about? And what is some of the work that Srishti's done that stands out to you?
Sure. And I want to acknowledge the entire staff, really, for The Observer. As I said, we had a shoestring team, and many of whom are still around, and I'm very appreciative of the work that they've done over the years and hanging with us. But I have so much excitement about, you know, kind of this new generation of people that we've been able to kind of bring into the newsroom. The relationship really started, you know, for several years, particularly after the killing of Stephon Clark, kind of a closer relationship between The Observer and Capital Public Radio, and kind of recognizing that we're better together. I am a big believer in you want to go fast, go alone. You want to go far, go together. It's an old African proverb. And I just think that particularly in media, collaboration is really important. The Observer is in several collaborations, but the relationship with Cap Radio to me is something that is very unique. We, as you say, we share Srishti, and they've been doing a great job on K-12 education reporting. It's the idea of sharing content to me is something that is really important, particularly when you've got diverse voices that are helping to lead that. I think we're a better newsroom when we can collaborate with organizations like Cap Radio to, you know, get better insights and learnings about, you know, effective media communications. And I think you guys are a better newsroom when you include, you know, leadership like ours, you know, and the viewpoint and the sensitivity of our community. So everything from not just the reporting that Srishti's doing, but then like, you know, photography and those types of things, making sure that, you know, our community is well represented in your reporting to me means a lot. And so, you know, we partner with that. We also partner together with Solving Sacramento as well, too, which is focusing right now on affordable housing issues, but other issues as well, too. So I'm very appreciative of the relationship we've had the last few years with Cap Radio.
Yeah, I agree that thoughtfulness is just so important. And it's really difficult when the only constant to journalism, regardless the medium, is change.
Yes.
And often doing more with less. You know, given that other news outlets in recent years, they've been starting to invest in DEI beats, which is diversity, equity, inclusion, mm-hmm. you know, race and culture reporters. What is your view on that?
I think it's important. I think communities are better when local newsrooms are healthy and are investing and reporting on the entire community. I don't think people say, well, does that mean that there's still relevance to the black press? I feel like there's always going to be relevance to the black press. I think no matter what the work is that other newsrooms do related to race and culture and the work that they're doing, they should do it because they're also reaching an audience that we are might not be reaching. And so that community needs to be informed of those issues. But I will say that our reporting is unique. Our perspective is unique. Our connection with the community is unique. The voices that we include in our publication are unique. And so there's just some nuances that we have when we cover our community week in, week out for 60 years. But I applaud newsrooms that have that and use that as, you know, a guiding light within their newsroom. I want to make sure that they continue with that effort because it was in fashion after George Floyd, and it needs to continue. And so I would urge them to continue to do that and then to create partnerships like with newsrooms like ours as well, too, because I think that's important.
Yeah, we're better in numbers, absolutely. You know, and when we work together. Larry, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you for having me.
And that is Larry Lee, the publisher and president of the Sacramento Observer, which was recently named the best Black newspaper in the United States. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.